All right, right now, take your Bibles to and turn with me to Proverbs. And this is message number 7. Sometimes on Wednesday night, I have a shorter time to preach, especially if we have church business meetings or whatever. We have a little bit shorter envelope, and so it takes a little bit longer to get through some of these messages. But we've been talking and been showing you from the book of Proverbs about our tongue. We're going to look at it again. We have been, after I established a couple of messages about the tongue, we began to see the 5 destructive steps of an evil report. And that's what I want us to look at tonight. I want us to continue looking at these steps. We have looked at 3 of them. We'll look at the 4th one tonight. And these are destructive steps, and they happen because it's normal for us to like to gossip. So I thought I'd put a little line in here. And Joni told me that Jane told her that someone told her that the deacon's son got by with ... You can fill it in. So that's a common thing, even in the midst of us as believers. And notice how the chain of information just kept going and going and going. So what are the 5 destructive steps of an evil report? Something that might be true. An evil report does not have to be false. It could be true, but it's nobody's business at that point. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Of where do we draw the line, and how do we draw the line with some of that, of confidentiality and then taking a stand? Where do we really draw the line with that? So the first stage was ignorance. And you remember, we illustrated that with the life of Jacob and how he deceived his father. And ignorance is not being aware of the destructive power. You're just on the ignorant side of it. Doesn't make it right. Ignorance is not bliss, as some people would say. It doesn't make it right. But ignorance is just not being aware of, hey, you know, this has the ability to destroy lives. We need to be careful about what we say, what we repeat that someone has told us. It could be true, but we need to be careful about that. When do you deal with that? And am I on here? I forgot to turn my microphone on. All right, am I on now? I can tell. Can you tell? Can you tell the difference? It's different quality. So ignorance, and we talked a little bit about Jacob, how he deceived his father at his mother's request about being Esau, how sad that story is. Lying never pans out. The problem with a liar eventually is they cannot keep up with their lies. Truth is always best. Tell the truth. Be honest before God and men. It's so important for us to just fess up and don't color it. And parents, please don't think that your little daughter is a darling and that your son is a golden boy and they never lie, cheat, steal, connive. They are sinners. Think of the worst thing you did growing up. Multiply it by 10 and that's your child. That way you will not be defending them. Do not defend them. Even if they're innocent and they get caught up in something, do not defend them. Remember, they're sinners. You are to get the facts. You are to find out just how much involvement she or he had in the situation. And not just let it slip through the cracks and think it will all go away. Then there is exposure. And what is exposure? Here's the second step. That's when you enter into a conversation with a person and they are carrying an evil report on their lips, in their heart, in their mind. And now, much like Eve listening to the devil, she introduced sin into the world because of it. It was a tremendous ramification. All because she entered into a conversation with someone who was the carrier of a rumor, an evil report, gossip, a lie. And these stages grow on each other. Once we get out of the ignorance and we have our we're exposed to it, then it's naturally it goes to the next stage. And what's the third stage? The third stage is defilement. And that's receiving an evil report from another person. Now watch this carefully. And believing all of it is true. We have to be so careful. It may even be true. And even what they're saying might be true. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You say, wait a minute. And we talked about asking questions a couple of weeks ago. So defilement happens. And when you're defiled, you've exposed yourself. It's almost like a disease. You've exposed yourself, and now you're defiled with it. You've swallowed it. We illustrated this 2 weeks ago tonight with the life of Absalom. You remember how he was after his father's throne and all of what he was doing. Each one of these stages, they have more than just one Bible example. We could go to several Bible examples and find them. But tonight, in the balance of our time, I want us to talk about the next stage, and that's the stage of infection. So at first it starts out maybe in an innocent way as being ignorant. Then we are exposed. Then we are defiled. And then there is infection. And what is infection? It is responding to an evil report with human reasoning. Now your logic kicks in. And now you're thinking. Now, may I remind you, is our thinking always right? No. We have what kind of thinking? Stinking thinking. But now infection deals with our human logic. And we cannot humanize God's word. It's dangerous to do. And so we have to be careful. How do we respond? We need to respond in love. We need to respond with some spiritual understanding. Don't pull the trigger too quickly. Don't have a heart attack. Don't. Remember, one of the ways to communicate is act, do not react. Do not overreact. Hold on to things. Wait just a minute. So how can we establish, and I'm asking myself this question in my study, as I think about preaching this to you tonight, how can I establish this in your mind? How can I prove this from God's word in your mind? It's one thing for me to make this statement. It's one thing for me to make any of these statements. It's a whole other thing for me to prove to you my argument. And so that's what I want to build on. I want to build an argument before you tonight. So let's begin in the 14th chapter of the book of Proverbs, and let's look at the 15th verse. This is Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word, underscore the word simple. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. So there is a difference between a simple man and a prudent man. And I want to talk to you about the difference between that. About 3 years ago, I preached a series of messages out of Proverbs on the five fools of Proverbs. How many of you remember that series? Oh, several. All right. Very good. And one of the fools of Proverbs is the Hebrew word that I used to identify this is the Hebrew word itself. Pithi is the Hebrew word. And it means simple one. And when the word pithy is used in the Hebrew language, it refers to someone who is very foolish. They are so foolish that their actions are silly. They're not silly as humorous. They're silly as sad. A simple person is a person that is easily seduced. They can be told a fragment of a truth or part of a truth, or they could be told a statement of truth, and they run with it. They are impressionable. They're not thinking it through clearly. They haven't stopped long enough. They haven't learned some of these procedures. And so they get caught by surprise, and their mouth drops open. And then they're gullible. A simple person is not someone who's retarded, who's mentally slow. That's not what this word is. This word is translated in our King James Bible, fool. That's how it's translated. Over and over and over, scores of times, it's translated like that. So when it talks about the simple, And there's a difference between simple and prudent. A simple person is someone who is saturated with their own silliness. They are their fools that are easily seduced. And so what happens is someone tells you something about someone else and you believe it is truth right off the bat. And all of a sudden you're formulating, I'm never going to talk to that person again. They're off my list. What's their name? And boy, you're going to town. What if the first time someone told a lie about you, that everybody treated you the way you're going to treat this person? You would have no friends. You would have no one to talk to. It's very important to understand that when you are exposed and how you respond to that will determine whether or not you get infected or not. And there are people carrying around an infectious disease about others that's really unfounded, based solely upon what was told them, as if it was the pure gospel. When we were down south, we were listening to a radio station, and its call letters, and it was saying the station of the pure gospel. You got to be from down south to really understand that. I'm not even going to go into it. I'm not even going to go into it about what the pure gospel is. But it's a saying that they have down south. In our first church, we had a lady who chewed snuff. That is some garbage, I'm telling you. You know, I mean, that is some serious. I mean, she spit that stuff out on the ground and the maggots wouldn't crawl on it. That's how bad it was. And she would have green stuff coming down. Yeah, Pastor, you preach the pure gospel. There's none. You got to live down there and experience that before you really understand it. It's almost like a foreign country. Pure, and I just started laughing. I looked at Dolly, she looked at me, and we just broke out in laughter. It's so funny. And I'm not mocking them. I'm a Southerner. I'm not mocking them. I'm just saying they have ways about them down there that's so different. I have no clue what that's got to do with these simple ones. I better get back on track. Let me talk to you about being prudent, all right? That's a great word. I love this word. You would rather be prudent than simple, I promise you. Prudent. This word is usually used in a bad sense. Most of the time in the Authorized Version, it's used without it having anything positive to really mean. It goes to craftiness. It goes to cunningness. It's to be subtle. And here's the thing. When you are prudent and you see how silly those things are, you are able to outwit or be more subtle than the sin that's going to take you down. Did you stay with me on that? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look at the verse and let's read it again. And I think that you might be able to put it together. The simple believeth every word. Now, I just finished preaching on that. Every word, the pure gospel. Every word. Did you hear such and such about so and so? I didn't know that. It's not that you're going to check it out. It's not that you're not going to figure out, is this the truth or not? Or why are you telling me this? It's that you're silly. You're gullible. You swallowed it. We'd say hook, line, and sinker. But the prudent, the person who's going to be not silly, but subtle enough to say, hey, wait just a moment. We need to be careful. A prudent man looketh well to his going. He is going to wait. He's not going to be gullible. He is not going to just snap foo all of a sudden and believe everything. He's not going to be gauging. He's not going to be categorizing. He's not going to be remembering names and the very thing that was said and X them off and throw them out and kick them to the curb, so to speak. A prudent man may almost look like he's divisive or subtle, but he's figuring it out. That's what it's saying here. And instead of being simple, then be subtle enough to figure it out. Don't just lunge and take it. Think it through. Let me show you another Bible verse. Turn, and these are just right in the flow of Scripture, so you won't be having to go back and forth. Turn to chapter 16. Let's look at verse 28. And we'll just read a few of these. They're self-explanatory, really. I'm not going to talk about each one of them. A froward man soweth strife. And we know that the word froward means pervert, perverted. He soweth strife. And a whisperer, what does a whisperer do? Separates chief friends. Separates close friends. People have been friends for years, but because they've been gossiped about, now that gossip has gone out, and listen, you can't take it back. You can fix it, but you can't take it all back. That's the problem. Turn to the next chapter. Look at verse 4 of chapter 17. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. If you give heed to false lips, you are a wicked doer. That's why I say your thinking is stinking. You're, in some ways, you're worse off than the person who gave you the report. In many ways. And you can get caught. Notice what else verse 4 says. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Liars like loose lips. Loose lips sink ships. So there's times that we do not talk. And because it's rumored. And it may have been told to you by someone you respect. But you have to be careful. You've got to be prudent, not simple. Drop down to verse 9 in chapter 17. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So when is it right to talk? When is it not right to talk? Now, I want you to keep your finger here. I want to show you another verse, and then I want to ask you a question. All right, now, you and I are engaged in a conversation right now, okay? You don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to see it. Now, keep your finger on that verse and flip over to chapter 28. Let me show you another verse. Now, before we look at this verse, do you got chapter 28? All right. Now, if you got chapter 28, go back to it. All right? Go back to chapter 17 I'm talking about. You got chapter 28. We're going to show you a verse here. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 9 of chapter 17. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Now, flip over to chapter 28 real quick and look at verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Question, is there a contradiction of Scripture there? Oh, wait a minute now. One talks about cover. I ask myself this question. Well, surely this is a different Hebrew word. And it's not. It's the same exact word. Is there a contradiction? We know there's no contradiction. Now, let me help you with it. All right. Let's read the Bible. Let's read these verses. All right. Again. Verse 9, chapter 17. He, that's a person, that covereth a transgression, didn't say it was his transgression. It could be the transgression of a loved one, someone that he respects. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. That's real love. Someone that's not going to be babbling off about someone's moral failure or someone's ethical failure. Now watch this carefully. Chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins. Totally different perspective. And when we look at it from that perspective, verse 9 of chapter 17 speaks of someone who is privileged to confidential information. It's not public knowledge. Or that person has not been talking about it publicly. And so that person is not going to separate a chief friend. That person is going to be cautious. Because they've been giving information. Maybe they've been helping them. Maybe they do know about the weakness or the failure of that person. But because they love them, they're not going to talk about it. They're not going to talk about it to others. People sometimes will ask questions to fish out information, to see what you know about it, to see if they can add another piece to their statement, to their evil report. You have to be wise enough to understand that. These people in 17:9, they have discernment. They know how to hold something that's confidential that is not public knowledge yet or has not been talked about by that person in a broad sense. And so they know how to keep things when they should be confidential. Now, all of us in this room we've broken confidentiality. All of us have. In some measure, in some way, great or small, big or little, doesn't make any difference, we have. We've told something that we shouldn't have told that we had to apologize for. If you've got any character whatsoever, you've had to swallow hard and say, I shouldn't have said that. We've all been there. We've all had those experiences. They are painful, but pain is good for us because we learn from pain. Chapter 28, verse 13 speaks of a person who knows they have sinned and they seek to cover it up. They're deceptive. They're liars. They will twist the truth. These are two verses that are good for us to look at in this way. Let me show you one more before I deal with the symptoms of infection tonight. And that is, turn with me to chapter 26 and look at verse 20. Let's read about three of these verses here. Many years ago, God used this verse personally in my life to close my mouth when I should not be talking. And God helped me. This is a verse that God used early in my ministry that helped me. It became very personal. I do not read it. I do not think of the morning in which God gave that to me in my devotions. Where no arrowwood is, the fire goeth out. Now, I know that's not what your translation says, but that's what mine said that morning. Now, notice what that's not talking about stoking wood on a fire, folks. Look at the context. Look at the rest of this passage. So is, it's a comparison. So is a contentious man to kindle strife. Someone who is in a brawl all the time. Someone who is always negative. That person is contentious. And they're always kindling strife. They're always poking the fire and throwing on some kindling. And we have to be careful about that. There are times when we do not need to load what's burning with our kindle. Boy, I tell you, now that is a statement in the 21st century, isn't it? Pastor Erwood said all the women should burn their kindles. Did you hear him? That's not what was said. Look at verse 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle that strife. Go back to verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. The strife goes away. But when we're bearing tales, when we're repeating what someone said to us, thinking that it's the truth, we are controlled by that. I thought we were to be controlled by the Spirit of God. I thought we were to be yielded to Him, not to some rumor or some truth about someone that's going to turn our hearts away from them. I have found out that the people in which Satan tried to turn my heart against were people who I needed desperately in my life. And many people miss the very people that God put in their life because they prejudge others. And so they stay off that street and they miss the very people they need in their life. It's not worth it. Look at verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. So here are five selections of Scripture from the book of Proverbs that helps us see that what you say on the phone tomorrow is very important. What you say sitting across the table from someone is very important. What you say in the text is very important. What you put in the email is very important. What you tell someone else about a situation, better be careful. It could come back to haunt you. I know it has me. I've had to apologize for it. In the next few minutes, let me just give you some bullet points without, I don't have time to explain them, but what are some symptoms of people who are infected? Well, let me give you a few. Number one, believing the evil reports are true. Hook, line, and sinker. Number two, forming negative opinions of the evil reports. Now you're controlled by them. Here's number three, forming negative opinions of the person who is talked about in the evil report. Well, you pile all this stuff up, and a good person could be thrown to the lions. A good person, the New Testament says, we are the ones who bite and devour one another. And somewhere along the line, people have the misconception, we're fundamentalists, we ought to fight with each other. I don't see that in Scripture. I'm not saying we shouldn't take a stand. I'm not saying that we cannot contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We do that and should. But we do that together. It's when we get an aggravation, when all of a sudden there's children involved and who told the truth and who didn't tell the truth. And it's a sad day today. Let me give you number four. Judging others on the basis of the information in the evil report. Aren't you glad people don't treat you that way? Have you ever made a mistake in your life? Has someone told others about that mistake? Would you want everyone to be controlled for the rest of your life over that mistake? Number five. And this happens so often. Because of that, there's withdrawal. And you begin to back away from. You begin to withdraw from the person talked about in the evil report. And you could be missing some of the greatest blessings of your life. Some of the greatest help that you're going to get for your life personally, for your family. We are imperfect people serving a perfect God. Don't put everybody under a microscope, and then you don't want to live there either. And then another obvious when you're infected with it is you're telling it to others. Number six, you tell the evil report to others. Almost proudful that you got the information. Almost lauding your spirituality because you know the goods. And what it really reveals is that you've just put your nose somewhere where it doesn't belong. And we've got to get it fixed. Infected. Evil reports. Next week, what's the next step? Disease. It's going to be tough. It's not easy. But when you look at it from this perspective, then you can begin weighing out what you should say and what you should not say. How you say it is important. What you say is important. How you repeat something. It's so important for us to have the right perspective. These are great verses, passages of Scripture written by God, rebuking us for our loud mouths. May the Lord help us with it.